this is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host Frank Santopadre, and this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions with the late Ray Bolt.
Speaking from the grave.
For a guy who dies every week, he's lively.
Yes.
Pretty lively. We are here at Earwolf with Verta Rosso, and when you introduce yourself, and I always think, oh, Gilbert Gottfried, not Godfrey,
which
I see on social media. I love Gilbert Godfrey. He's my favorite comedian.
I love when people come up to me on the street and they'll say, oh, I know you, Arthur Godfrey.
Right.
The famous anti-Semite.
You're a Jewish anti-Semite.
Yes.
They're very rare. Paulie, how are you?
I'm good. You caught me taking a big drink of water to get ready.
Fine.
I want to be lubricated.
You could do a Danny Thomas spit take. You got your own theme music. We're going to do Gil. You should get a royalty.
I should. Can I mention that Elizabeth is here?
Yes, Paul's lovely wife is here, Elizabeth. She's sweet and she's kind and she's
doing the Queen's wave.
She's normal.
She's surprisingly normal
and well adjusted. I don't know what I mean by that. I guess what I'm trying to say badly is any woman that would be with any of us,
yeah,
is under suspicion.
I would never like to be
including my own wife. Richard Pachter is a fan who sent us this great book. We did this a couple of weeks ago. It's called The Versatiles. I found it. You can actually still buy this sucker. It's on Amazon. It was published in 1969. So what's fun about it is you go through the bios and half of these people are still alive at its publishing. They're all dead now.
Yeah.
Pretty much, except for Norman Lloyd.
Wow.
Who's hanging in at, 103, 102
Jeez.
Or something like that. Can you believe Olivia Havilland is kicking?
I know.
A woman's in Gone with a Friggin' Wind.
Yes.
She's still with us.
That was the name of it, Gone with the Friggin' Wind.
I don't want to invite her on the show because she's litigious. Just sued somebody. Richard Pachter sent us this great book of character actors. You guys know how much we're obsessed with character actors. Gilbert loves it. It's his obsession. And we're going to quiz him on a couple of these character actors. And Paul has done the research. What do you think, Gil?
Hours.
Okay.
I want to see.
I guess I'm supposed to take my phone out then, is what that means.
You can take your phone out and do a little research. Didn't you prep the research beforehand?
I did prep some research.
So what do you need your phone for?
Well, because I forgot what I prepped.
Look,
I
get it. when he has the phone, it takes him a year and a half, so.
Here we go. Do you know, Gilbert?
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to jump around, Paul.
Okay.
Well, last time we did A through D.
Yeah.
We did Lionel Atwill. We did Claude Akins.
Yes.
We did Margaret Dumont. And this time, just to give you a hint, and I shouldn't even give you a hint.
Yeah.
We've moved past D.
Ooh.
So do you know what letters would come next?
T?
What group of letters? So here's some, and I'm not going to go alphabetically because I don't want you to get ahead of me. Some of these you'll know and will be easy. Some will be challenging.
I still am kicking myself for not knowing Robert Donat from last week.
Did we do Robert Donat? We didn't do him.
I think.
We gave you Edward Arnold.
Yeah.
Last time.
That one I got.
Yeah.
I got every one of the others.
Leo G. Carroll we gave you.
Yeah. That's an easy one.
See which one stumped you. Yeah, you got Lionel Atwill quickly.
Yeah,
Margaret Dumont was a layup. That wasn't. Yeah. We weren't really even quizzing you.
Yeah, that was just a
Henry Daniel was the one that
Henry
stumped you.
Henry Daniel.
Yes.
Yeah, from the Body Snatchers.
That was the one that stumped you. Otherwise, you were golden.
Yeah.
These might be easier this time. These might be hard. Paul, I'm going to jump around.
Okay.
Who is that gentleman?
Oh, Christ.
Wait a minute. I'm going to give you the second sheet. I just gave you the one with the writing on it. Okay. Let's do this again. Who is that gentleman?
Oh.
Very famous. He has an Oscar, in fact.
Ah.
He won his Oscar in 1947 for starring in a movie that I love to talk about on this show. He was in Of Human Bondage, Charlie's Aunt, two Hitchcock pictures, Foreign Correspondent, and The Trouble with Harry, Lassie Come Home, Bonzo Goes to College. big film. He won an Oscar in 1947. He's a Brit.
Very familiar.
Frank has loaded up some quiz music. Oh. I like that, Frank. That's a nice touch.
Very familiar, but okay.
I'll give it to you now. With this hint will give it to you. He won his Oscar for playing Santa Claus.
Oh, what the fuck's that guy?
Or Kris Kringle, if you will.
Oh, fuck that guy. Oh, shit.
Edmund Gwenn. Okay, we stumped him with the first one, Paul. Okay. Have you got anything juicy on Edmund Gwenn?
He was in another movie I bet Gilbert likes.
What's that?
He played the scientist, Dr. Harold Medford, in Them.
Oh, he's in Them. How could I not give you that one?
And that's a funny thing. Like,
I should have given you that one.
Them is the respected one, and I like the ripoff better, Tarantula. That's a fun movie.
See, if I'd said Them, would you have gotten Edmund Gwenn?
Oh, maybe. Okay. Maybe then, yeah.
You've seen those Hitchcock pictures,
haven't you? He was in four Hitchcock pictures.
Four? I only wrote two down.
The Skin Game, Strauss, Great Waltz, Foreign Correspondent, and The Trouble with Harry.
Look at you. I've been outdone by Raybone.
Yes. Yeah.
I've been Rayboned. All right. Here's an easy one. Here's a layup for Gilbert. I like to throw in little easy ones to encourage him.
Well, we don't want to embarrass him.
I'm sorry. I'm just a little disappointed that we're really just going to let Rayboned slide by. We're not going to say anything.
Well, we're on limited time here, Frank. Here we go. Who's that?
He has, with a quick glimpse, it looks kind of like Fritz Feld.
It is Fritz Feld.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. And he's got his hand by his mouth, too.
Yeah, I picked the one that you would get.
Yeah. Fritz Feld, I mean, he built a career out of popping
his... Can you do it?
Yeah.
Can you do the pop?
Not really.
I can't either.
But he'd do it really loud, and he was always the maitre d'.
Yes.
And it's always like, table for two, and then pop his mouth.
The man had a long career. He died at 93, and he's in a lot of movies.
He even pops up in an Odd Couple episode.
He does.
Yeah. He was hysterical.
Jerry Lewis used him a lot. He's in The Ladies' Man. He's in The Patsy. He's in The Errand Boy.
Yeah. He was hysterical.
Secret Life of Walter Mitty. The Phantom of the Opera with Claude Rains. He's in. And he had a career well into the 70s. Sunshine Boys, History of the World in the 80s. Yeah.
He just found something that worked, and that was it.
Yep.
He was in Bringing Up Baby.
Yes.
That movie fared so badly at the box office that Howard Hawks was fired from his next production.
Insane. Wow. And Howard Hawks is an iconic director.
Yeah, exactly.
He was born in Berlin, Gilbert.
Yes.
And lived to the age of 93.
Wow.
And worked a very, very long time, Fritz Feld. And I believe he has a mention in the Gilbert documentary.
Yes, at the end. I talk about Fritz Feld.
I don't know, maybe you said this while I was looking somewhere else here, but he had a recurring role on... Lost in Space. Do you remember who he was?
Fritz Feld was recurring on Lost in Space.
Recurring role of Zumdish, manager of the Intergalactic Celestial Department Store.
Zumdish? He was Zumdish?
You've been trying to recover who Zumdish was, I know.
This blows my mind. Wow. Paul, that's my favorite tidbit of information this month. Fantastic work, Raybone.
Zumdish.
Fantastic. Okay, here's a Fritz Feld. I had to throw Fritz Feld in there.
Yeah.
I left the book at home, and I called my wife, and I said, read me everybody in there from E to G.
Yeah.
And my wife started reading them, and when she stopped at Fritz Feld, I said, got to put that in there for me. That's an homage. Okay, this is an actor who's in everything. Who is that?
Oh, Christ, and he did voices for Walt Disney.
He may have. He's in a million movies.
Was he the voice of the rabbit in Alice in Wonderland?
I don't know.
He had one of those voices.
He had a squeaky voice. He can't talk like this.
Yes, but it was more, I'm not even doing him well. I wonder if Steve Stolliar could do him.
He kind of talked like this. Yes, he had a breathy voice. More like that.
And I swear he was in a Disney cartoon.
He's the drunk Santa Claus in Miracle on 34th Street.
Right.
The one that's fired immediately, and Edmund Gwenn gets his opportunity to play Kris Kringle. Does that help you? He's in Scared Stiff. He's in How to Marry a Millionaire, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Born right here in New York City. He's in Abbott and Costello Meet Boris Karloff, The Killer.
Oh,
the Killer,
geez.
Boris Karloff. My Friend Irma, Kiss Me Deadly, big movies. Jailhouse Rock. I mean, he did everything.
God.
You know who I'm talking about, Mr. Raybone?
I think you're talking about Percy Helton.
I'm talking about Percy Helton.
Percy Helton.
Just talking about Percy Helton.
Oh, now, wow.
He apparently had ambitions to be a leading man, and he was in some children's theater, and they made him shout, and he ruined his voice.
Is that true?
That's what they
say. That's great trivia.
Ruined his voice.
Oh,
became
man.
Became permanently
sad.
Hoarse.
Yes, because he talked like this. Remember his voice, Gilbert?
Yeah, and that's
so that's it.
The funny thing is it made his career that voice.
Yeah, yeah. He's my wife was watching White Christmas, and he turns up as one of the conductors on the train, and I started screaming Percy Helton from the other room, and my wife thought I had a grand mal seizure.
I'm positive. He did a voice in a Disney.
We'll try to find that out. I have an actor here in my stack that did a voice.
He did
in a Disney film. Not him, but he may have.
Percy Helton did a lot of appearances on some shows produced by Paul Henning.
There you go. Yeah, he played a lot. I think he did a lot of TV in
Beverly
the 60s Hillbillies, and 70s.
Petticoat Junction, Green
there you
Acres.
Go. Paul Henning shows. He'd play like a storekeeper or the general owner
or
a bellhop or a train conductor.
He wasn't in Alice in Wonderland?
I don't have it here. It's possible.
I'll try to find it.
Yeah.
Okay, Gil.
I know I've heard in cartoons.
Moving right along. So you got the first. You didn't get the first one. You got the second one. So here's another layup for you. You know who this is. Who is that lady?
Oh, Margaret Hamilton?
Look at that.
Yeah.
My question with her was, to me, these are character actors some people have heard of, some not, but Margaret Hamilton's a star as far as I'm concerned.
Well, she was in that one iconic
film.
Film, the legendary film. I had to throw her in there because...
And a lesbian.
As Bruce Valanche pointed out, yes, a lesbiterian, I believe were his exact words.
Although you look at her and it's not really a surprise.
The poor woman. She was beloved.
Her whole life
she fought against that typecasting because kids were frightened of her and she loved children.
And
that was before The Wizard of Oz.
Exactly.
I remember seeing an episode of Mr. Rogers.
Yes, it's a famous episode.
Yeah, he brought her on just to show kids what a nice lady she
loved
is.
Children. I think she worked as a school teacher or she worked volunteering with children. Spent all of her adult, born in Cleveland, I think. Do I have this right, Paul? Yeah, born in Cleveland. She lived to the age of 82, but spent her adult life in New York City. She worked with Fields and My Little Chickadee. She's in The Invisible Woman. Do you know this picture?
Oh, yes,
Universal
yes.
picture. Oxbow Incident. Capra used her in State of the Union. She's in Brewster McCloud. Austin Pendleton was supposed to play.
Oh.
He was supposed to play Bud Cort's part. And remember he told us that?
Yes.
Him on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody loved her.
Yeah, Margaret Hamilton. Beloved woman. She
wasn't a mean dyke. you find you
how
mean
progressive
dykes.
Of you. What do you have on her, Paulie?
Not much more than what you got. Let's see.
See if you guys can find that.
She on the American Film Institute's list of 100 years greatest heroes and villains. She was number 4.
There you go.
So
yeah, I think she was in a Partridge Family episode.
Oh, here's I got actually a nice quote from the set. She said about Judy Garland. Said. Judy kept us all going. When she came on the set, it was as though the lights got brighter. Her freshness and vitality are things I will never forget.
There you go.
Did she try to fuck her?
That was a sentimental moment.
Oh,
guy has to bring the room down every time. She was burned up. You know the story that she was on she was in the lift.
Yes, right.
What she had to do, then the fire flashed up the shaft and burned her because she was wearing flammable paint.
That's right.
On her skin.
And
flammable makeup.
She was off the film for a month.
Months.
And what's his name almost died? The original...
Buddy Ebsen died because they put him in that the makeup had silver content.
It
had metallic
it almost
content
killed him.
That got into his lungs.
I thought maybe he also had a burnt up shaft. I don't know.
Don't turn into him.
Yes.
It's bad enough I got one of them. Who's this, Gilbert? Who is this famous character actor? He is one of the kings of the character actors. Shame on you.
Jimmy Gleason
Gleason it is! Look at you, you redeemed yourself.
Take that, Norton. It's the people.
There you go. Meet John Doe.
And he also was the detective in Here Comes...
Mr. Jordan.
Here Comes Mr. Jordan.
Very good.
Because, like, somebody else says something like, oh, we're going to crack this case open. And James Gleason goes, better call Houdini.
I love that movie. I love him. I love Meet John
Doe,
too.
Who is the other guy in that who plays the detective?
And Here Comes Mr. Jordan?
Yeah. He was a great actor, too.
Now I'm blanking. He's also in A Guy Named Joe, which was for the Spencer Tracy picture, which was remade by Spielberg, as always.
He's just in The Clock. He had that great face and voice that was always like that.
A wonderful
talked
character.
Out of the side of his mouth.
James Gleason. Yeah. Gilbert knows him as Jimmy. Apparently, they were chummy.
Yeah.
Born in New York
time,
City.
I had lunch with Maxine Marks.
That's
Chico's
right.
Chico's daughter. And she kept referring to him as Jimmy Gleason.
I love it. Born in 19—I lost the year of birth. I had it here.
What the fuck? Who was the detective?
All right, which movie
here
was
comes
that?
Here Comes Mr. Jordan.
Here Comes Mr. Jordan.
I had written down where what year he was born, but I don't have it. He started in Silence. His career lasted from 1922 to 1958.
Holy shit.
Which is a hell of a run.
Yeah.
Longer than you've been in the business, Stephen Gilbert. He's in The Clock. He's in Rockabye Baby with Jerry. A lot of these people work with Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
It keeps coming up over and over again.
I guess Jerry Lewis appreciated the old character actors.
I'm timing the show on my phone, Paul, so I can't actually look up.
Yeah, no, I got
Here Comes Mr. Jordan.
I got it up, but I'm not sure which one's a detective.
Read the cast.
I just lost it. It's coming back.
Okay. We don't get very good Wi-Fi or very good signal in this room.
The internet's only like 400 meg per second.
Where? I only have two bars.
Oh, you got to get on the Wi-Fi.
Oh, well, that's the problem.
They spared no expense on the Wi-Fi.
What do you got, Paul?
Let me keep working on it while we go to the next one.
All right, Gil, you impressed me.
Jay?
By getting Jimmy Gleason.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Here's another layup for you. Who's that?
Uh-oh. Oh, Sidney Greenstreet.
Another one. Stands way above most of the rest of this group, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Sidney and a guy who got a late start in films.
61.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. From Kent, England. Town called Sandwich in Kent. Born in 1879. Which, to give you some perspective, that was, like 14 years after Lincoln was assassinated?
Holy Christ.
Started in films at the age of 61, Maltese Falcon being his first film. Good place to start. Casablanca, A Passage to Marseille, Three Strangers.
Line in Casablanca where he says, "Leaving Casablanca now would take a miracle. And I'm afraid the Germans have outlawed miracles."
Beautiful.
Yeah. I was hoping you'd give us a little Sidney Greenstreet.
What a script by those Epsteins.
So I turned up some. How much time we got? This is a minor diversion.
So you turned up what?
I turned up.
You got
one of our favorite words from the Maltese Falcon. Our single most favorite word. Gunsel.
Gunsel.
Oh, Gunsel. Okay.
Yes, of course.
And so
Gunsel. Wilmer the Gunsel.
So yeah, that's right. So there's another word I'd never heard called catamite. Which is a reference to an older man keeping a younger man for sexual purposes.
Holy.
And Gunsel, like me and Gil.
Yes.
Dashiell Hammett replaced, they couldn't use catamite because that was way beyond the bounds of what was
fascinating.
Respectable. So Hammett replaced it with Gunsel, which came from the Yiddish word for little goose. And it was really a synonym for catamite. So they got away with implying it without actually saying it.
That's fascinating. That's good trivia. And that device is borrowed or used by the Coens in Miller's Crossing.
with the older
same idea.
Younger.
Yes, yeah. the same yeah. idea.
And it's yeah. funny
big,
that
big Hammett fans.
Peter Lorre in Maltese Falcon, he's like playing it. They're hinting that he's gay. Like he's got a perfumed business card
yeah,
that Humphrey Bogart sniffs.
Got the handkerchief.
Couldn't get away with that then.
He's got a cane that he keeps rubbing against his mouth as he's talking Bogart.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, stuff you couldn't do in 1941.
But these guys figured out a way to do it.
What is that guy's name?
God
for
damn it, I'm trying.
Sake.
He can't get on the internet.
I'm sure like everybody at home is screaming out his name.
Well, why don't we bring them on?
All right, hang on.
I'll play some waiting music for Gilbert the
Hang on,
with.
I'll find it.
All right, here, I got the cast up, but I don't know who you're looking
for. Go ahead, give us the cast.
Robert Montgomery. Claude Rains. Evelyn Keyes. James Gleason. Edward Everett Horton. Rita Johnson, John Emery, Donald McBride.
Has to be John Emery or Donald McBride.
John Emery, Donald McBride plays Inspector Williams.
Oh, okay, Donald McBride. Okay.
Evelyn Keyes, I believe, married John Huston.
Oh.
Speaking of the Maltese Falcon.
Okay, get another one.
Who's this?
Oh.
A very famous face.
Oh, Christ! Is that Billy Gilbert?
Look at you! you're just toying with me now.
Billy Gilbert.
You're toying with me.
I feel like Paul Newman in The Hustler.
you're playing possum.
Yeah, like when he says, "Well, I win sometimes," and then Murray Hamilton goes, "Oh, I bet you do. I just bet you do."
How great would Murray Hamilton have been on this show?
Oh, he would have been.
We had to settle for Eddie Deason's Murray Hamilton stories. Not that I didn't love
Hamilton,
Eddie.
What a great actor.
A great career.
You were talking about Disney movies?
Yeah, there you go.
Billy Gilbert was he had a long, drawn-out sneezing routine that became one of his trademarks. And he played Sneezy in Snow White.
According to what I found, too, he was uncredited but played Sneezy in Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, Gil.
And he's in that book that what's-his-name wrote about the great comedy teams.
Leonard Maltin
wrote it. And the foreword is by Billy Gilbert.
You bet.
And he worked with every one of them.
Well, yeah, Chaplin and the Great Dictator. He's in A Night at the Opera with the Marxes. He's in, he worked with Stan and Ollie. Laurel discovered him.
Yeah. I think he
I have to go through the list and see if he worked with Fields.
Maybe the Stooges he worked with, I think.
Quite possibly.
Oh, Martin and Lewis, I think he worked with.
Let's see. He was discovered by Stan Laurel. He was in a dressing room in an opera house, which I love. Born in Kentucky. He's in Mad Love, so he worked with Lorre.
Oh man!
He's in Anchors in Way, so he worked Anchors Away, so he worked with Sinatra. A lot of B pictures too on the list.
Yeah, he was a great actor.
When my wife and I watched Stan and Ollie recently, and she had never seen a Laurel and Hardy short, so I showed her The Music Box, which Billy Gilbert features prominently in.
Oh, I don't know that.
It's the one where they push the trying to get the piano up this incredibly
long
staircase.
Yeah.
It's very, very famous. And Billy Gilbert shows up, as he does in a lot of that stuff. He was a gag writer for Hal Roach Studios.
Oh, geez.
So he's all of those things.
Yeah,
and
he was
very famous
very
face.
Funny.
And now I get to stump you again, although this is a very famous character actor. Let me see if you know this face. Who's that?
Oh, I'm scared. Oh.
You recognize him?
I recognize him. Oh, maybe a
We're going to get you here. It's a hard one.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's sort of a Porter Hall type, sort of a Franklin Pangborn type.
Yeah.
But he's neither of those guys. He's in The Prisoner of Zenda, The Man They Could Not Hang, the Karloff picture. Man-Made Monster, he's in.
Oh!
One of your favorites.
Oh,
Son of Flubber, he's in Who's Minding the Store again, Jerry Lewis.
Yes.
His name is Byron Folger.
Oh, jeez.
F-O-U-L-G-E-R. Somebody who turns up in a million. He's in They Live by Night. He's in Wonder Man with Danny Kaye. He's one of the, even Captain Nice. He was on in the 60s.
So you got to say that for Jerry Lewis. He appreciated those old-time
characters. I tell
you,
I really stumbled on a ton of them.
He had 489 credits.
There you go. And nobody knows the damn man's name.
Oh, man.
After 489 credits.
That's a shame.
Yeah. I mean, I knew it. I don't know why. He's one of those guys that was on my radar. Who's that? New person.
Wait a minute, is that the original Hale?
Yes, it's
yes!
Alan Hale Sr. You got it even before Frank started the timer. Very good. Alan Hale Sr., the father of the skipper.
Yeah.
Alan Hale Jr. And what did you find on him?
He would be in he was in a James Cagney movie.
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
He worked with
Bogart.
Yeah, he worked with everybody. He had a long career in a lot of films. Died young at 57, but he worked with Gable Chaney Sr.
Oh.
He had a long silent career. He worked with Barbara Stanwyck, Edward G. Robinson, Cagney, Errol Flynn. He's in A View in Bondage, Stella Dallas, Seahawk, Inspector General with Annie Kay. What did you find, Mr. Paul?
Well, hey, you guys may be familiar with this. This was new to me. When he became a character actor, it was at Warner Brothers, and there were a bunch of them that became known as the Warner Brothers Stock Company.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Right, and he also played Little John.
He did, famously.
In three different movies.
Yes, he was in the silent Robin Hood.
I don't know if I even have. I got Errol Flynn.
Yeah.
Yeah, Robin Hood 1922. And
22.
Then Rogues of Sherwood Forest in 1950.
There you go,
Little
Gil.
Little John, I guess.
Wow.
Was aspired to be an opera singer originally. What do you think? One more?
Yeah, okay.
Here's the last one. I hold in my hand the last envelope. Remember when Ed McMahon and Johnny would do the Karnak
yes.
bit?
Everybody to applaud.
Yes.
And then Carson would insult the audience.
Yes.
May the sewers of Rangoon back up into your breakfast. I remember, may your only son win a Farrah Fawcett lookalike contest. But probably written by Pat McCormick. Who's that?
Oh.
That one's just for you.
Oh, fuck.
It's not him.
Oh, jeez.
He's been mentioned recently.
Arnold? Edward Arnold?
No.
Edward Albert?
He was mentioned. He was mentioned when we had Dick Cavett here.
Holy fuck. Oh, God. He's so familiar.
Yes. I love how we're doing a visual quiz in an audio medium. And the audience is screaming, I can't see the faces.
He has
very bushy eyebrows.
Oh, he's been in everything,
yes.
That guy.
A European character actor known for his evil parts, evil roles, and a very, very bushy, prominent eyebrows. And Gilbert will now kick himself to death because when Dick Cavett was here, we talked extensively about Oscar Homolka.
Oscar Homolka! Oh, fuck, I am kicking myself.
Now, how many people, there are 300 million people in the United States, how many people would have that reaction to Oscar Homolka?
Only him.
Because there was...
There are 300 million podcasts in the United States. No one's talking about Oscar Homolka.
There was a hysterical moment on The Odd Couple.
Yes. I knew you'd go to that.
Yeah. And Jack Klugman's on the phone. He goes, yeah, hi, it's Oscar. And he goes, Oscar Madison, how many Oscars you know? And his eyes pop out of his head. And he goes, you know Oscar Homolka?
It's great. Right. A joke written by writers in 1972.
Yes.
For us.
Yes.
For the 12 people who knew Oscar Homolka.
I remember watching The Odd Couple with my mother.
Very good.
And we both just screamed.
Good memory. Good memories. He was married four times. That's a lot. Born in Vienna in 1898. Again, in a lot of silent films. He's in I Remember Mama, Ball of Fire. Capra used him a lot. Wilder, because he's in 7-Year Itch. Mr. Sardonicus, Gilbert.
Oh!
He's in Mr.
Geez.
Sardonicus. And his last role.
Oh, that's right. He's his assistant.
Correct. His last role was Blake Edwards' The Tamarind Seed in 1974. So that's another long career. These guys worked a long time. A guy like Byron Folger, would you say 400 roles?
Yeah.
Insanity.
It's
Fritz Feld must have been at 400 things, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's assumed they probably, what do you think, they make a comfortable living but not make a fortune.
They never become stars, but they're known and people recognize them and then say, I know I've seen you in something, but I can't.
Right.
I can't.
One who never stopped working was Elijah Cook Jr.
Wilmuth Gunsell.
There
you go.
Yeah, that's
also
right.
In an Odd Couple episode.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And that one
he was
with
the heel.
Blinky.
He was the heel.
Yeah.
Right. right, Blinky Madison.
Yes.
I got to get some Odd Couple people in here. I could find some Odd Couple writers.
I remember in that Blinky episode, Tony Randall is sitting down in a chair.
He's the optometrist.
Yes, and this sexy girl sits on his lap, and he goes, "Ma'am, you shouldn't be doing this. I have a what's that word I'm thinking of?
A wife.
Yes.
A wife. Yes." Played by the vivacious Barbara Rhodes.
Yes.
As I recall, who did a lot of that stuff. Those Odd Couple episodes hold up beautifully.
And there's another part in that Odd Couple episode where a cop comes in and he's ready to close up the place, and Klugman gives him a wad of bills and he goes, "Well, let's shut you up for a while." And he looks, he goes, "Forever."
Yeah. I think that was Billy Hallop.
Oh!
I think that was Billy Hallop. Do I have the right actor? Oh, this is going to kill me. Either Billy Hallop or the other guy. Who was sort of like him. Don't mind me.
That was
going off on crazy
episode.
Tangents. Okay, now I got to look up who that actor was. Thank you, Paul Raybone. Thank you, Gilbert. This was fun, right?
Oh, this was a lot of fun.
You love to go down character actor memory lane. Paul, thanks for doing the research.
Yeah.
What was that? Paul, Frank's got his own show going on here in the background. You want to take us out with a little Sidney Greenstreet, Gilbert?
Oh.
In honor of...
I enjoy talking to a man who enjoys to talk. I distrust the clues, mouth man.
Beautiful. See you next time.
Sessions.